Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast.
It is the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast here. I am your host, Joe D'Arienzo, joined today by one of my former radio hosts back at Elon University, former member of CBS Radio in Charlotte, is Ryan Ballack. Ryan, how are you doing today?
Joe, so good to hear your voice, man. I'm doing great. I'm excited to be a part of this podcast and excited the fantasy baseball season is coming up. I mean, obviously we're excited about baseball season, but what's baseball season without a little fantasy sports involved with it?
Exactly. It is Saturday, March 14th. We've got about 3 weeks left until regular season action, but we've still got plenty of spring training, plenty of injury news to react to. So we're going to start things right off here, up and running with the news and notes, starting with Masahiro Tanaka, who made his spring debut returning from a partial UCL tear, which he decided to go without surgery to try to fix. He's yet another of these high-ceiling pitchers coming back from an elbow injury. He looked pretty good. He struck out two, only needed 19 pitches to get rid of all six batters. He retired. So, Ryan, looking at Tanaka and his situation this year, similar to guys like Harvey and Garrett Richards, big-name guys that are coming off of injuries, how should his draft stock be evaluated?
See, it's tough with a guy like Tanaka, and he's probably the toughest, honestly, the toughest call to make just because he didn't have the surgery. I mean, it kind of seems like it's just a coming of age in baseball these days. I mean, you pitch either a year, you're going to get Tommy John surgery if you really got good stuff. And I was surprised that Tanaka didn't get it. I mean, Matt Harvey, Jose Fernandez got it last year. A lot of big players really just took the year off and made the sacrifice. Steven Strasburg, we've seen make the sacrifice. So it's going to be hard to evaluate a guy like Tanaka. And, I mean, I honestly expect him to get hurt again this season. I mean, a guy like Harvey I have a little more confidence in. We've seen people come off Tommy John surgery and pitch just fine, come back even a little stronger. But for Tanaka, just to go to rehab and think it's all going to go away, I don't know. I think it could come back to bite him in the butt.
Yeah, it's a very odd situation because the Yankees have said they're going to have to try to get him an extra day of rest whenever they get a chance to and still try to avoid Tommy John surgery. It's still looming. There's still
right,
that chance that he gets hurt and re-injures it.
Right, and it's just it's very risky, I believe, as the general manager of the Yankees and any Yankee fan. I mean, this is a guy you really invested a lot of your future into, especially now that, I mean, he's clearly the number one there. So that, he had a huge falling off last year. And, I mean, they really need him to step up and have a big year if the Yankees are going to be somewhat competitive.
Yeah, and right now his ADP is 86. It's 20 spots lower than Matt Harvey. And it's 45 ahead of a guy like Garrett Richards, who I think is an incredibly lower risk situation than Tanaka.
Oh, yeah.
Where you think there's a chance that he gets back and he gets injured again. So,
and Richards was really
I'm
good last year.
About it. Yeah, Richards was phenomenal last year. Tanaka was great. Don't get me wrong. 2.77 ERA. He showed that he can play in the major leagues. But this injury looming over him is just too much for
me
to take that risk. Someone else will
do it. It's risky. And the only important part of fantasy baseball is when it comes down to the end and when you're in the playoffs. And, I mean, if you really think this guy's good, I mean, the Yankees aren't going to be that great this year. There's a great chance that this guy's going to get shut down in August. And who knows?
Exactly.
It's a risky pick.
Yeah. Neither of us are injury experts here, but Stefania Bell for ESPN is an injury expert. And this was her quote last year when Tanaka said he wasn't going to get surgery. There are indeed cases where partial tears of the UCL do not require surgery, at least not immediately, but they're not well documented and appear to be relatively rare at the major league level. I'd much rather see the route where we've seen results, we know the opportunity and the chance of a guy coming back. This is just too up in the air, too risky for me to
yep. Just looming over your head. I don't like that. I don't like it at all. Anybody on my team that has an injury like that, just get it out of the way, get your surgery, get it over with. It's a tough situation, but I'd like to see him come back. He was amazing. He's so much fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. But as far as fantasy goes, massive headache waiting to happen if you do draft him.
Oh, yes. Absolutely. I would avoid him.
Moving on here, Marcus Stroman was one of the names that has been thrown around all preseason. Everyone
yep.
has been pumped about watching this guy. We heard rumors that he discovered Roy Halladay's sinker over there in Toronto, which if you're comparing somebody to Roy Halladay, there's incredible
stealing. Toronto.
In Toronto, exactly. Unfortunately, he tore his ACL. He's out for the year. Really terrible stuff. There's not much to discuss about him, but he was really one of the premier sleepers that people talked about for pitching in standard leagues this year. So, Ryan, now that he's not available on the board, who's one of the guys that you're targeting as a pitching sleeper this year?
I'm actually looking – this might be a little bit of a homer pick, but I'm looking at Zach Wheeler. Wheeler had an awesome end of the season last year, and his final 96 innings finished with a 2.71 ERA, and he was really great for the Mets. And, I mean, the Mets, they've been talking for, I think, the last 5 or 6 years that we're waiting for 2014 or 2015 or 2013. One of these years they're going to make a run. And, I mean, they've finally got a lot of pieces. They got a really good staff this year. Wheeler's not going to be the number three starter, which takes a lot of pressure off of them. And they expected Zach Wheeler to kind of be the ace when they made that trade with Carlos Beltran, and I expect him in his third or fourth full season to really step it up this year.
Yeah, I think the pressure being off of him is huge. He was supposed to be better than Matt Harvey. That was
the
player that the Mets traded for. So if that pans out and that second half of last year proves to be the Zach Wheeler that they got, he's a huge sleeper pick. He's available in the double-digit rounds. That's a great point. The first guy I'm going to mention here, I talk about, I think, every podcast, Colin McHugh for the Houston Astros. He had a 2.75 ERA last year. Ex-Met, yeah, it's unbelievable. This guy could have also been part of that pitching staff. He did everything right last year. And the best part, the kicker about him, is his curveball. Opponents hit 140 against it, and it accounted
That's
for
amazing.
71 of his 160 strikeouts. People know he's throwing it on the strikeout pitch, and they still can't touch it. So he's the guy of all of the sleepers that I'm aiming at.
And Houston's got a few pitchers down there. Well, they got the Dallas Jackson, or Dallas Kuchel, that's his name. He was great last year for them as well. He slowed down a little bit, but he had a really solid year. I think he had finished with an ERA under three. So another good guy would be a good sleeper would be Dallas Kuchel. I had him on my team. He was great last season. And he's right around the same the same ranking as McHugh would be. So those are two guys. Houston, they're getting a little better.
They're trying. They've got a lot of young guys that have a chance of making a little impact there. I've got one more really deep one, since I've mentioned McHugh so many times. Mike Fiers is one of my favorite names for a pitcher. He is a
From Milwaukee,
really
right?
deep sleeper right now. Yeah, Milwaukee Brewers, his ADP right now is 189. So you don't really have to reach for him. Last year, he only had 10 starts, but in those 10 starts, he had a 2.09 ERA. He had a sub-0.9 whip, and he had 10 Ks per nine. I get that it's only in 10 starts, but that's a ridiculous stat line.
Yeah, that is.
And the amazing thing is, you'd think big strikeout guy, he throws his fastball 58% of the time. You'd think he throws hard. It's low 90s, and no one can touch it. And it's really hard to understand. But opponents are hitting 127 against his fastball, and he doesn't throw it hard.
Wow, that's amazing. That's great.
It's a really weird situation, but he's a phenomenal pitcher, and I think has a chance to do a lot better than your 189th overall pick.
I got one more sleeper for you. I'm looking back
Go
in New
it.
York, but in pinstripes, how about CC Sabathia? He kind of fell off the wagon last year. And I mean, this is a guy in a lot of fantasy leagues that is just going to drop. Everybody's going to be trying to avoid this guy. I mean, last year he was 3-4 with a 5.28 ERA, but who are we kidding? This is CC Sabathia. I mean, this is a guy who could we were talking about being a potential 300-game winner. It's like the last ever guy that maybe could win 300 games. I mean, he obviously took a huge step back, but I expect CeCe to come back in style, especially if Tanaka can't come through. CeCe's going to have to step up, and I expect him to with a little less pressure on him.
Well, as of right now, his ADP is 295, so if you want him, Ryan, you can have CeCe.
That's what I'm saying. This is a guy you could take in the last round and just keep him on your bench, and he might be a quiet surprise for you. It'd be a nice little sleeper pick.
Yes, that would be a really, really interesting one at the end of the draft. One of the guys that CC Sabathia really fought with for that number one pitching title when the two of them were in their prime was Cliff Lee. We've got a little bit of a public service announcement here. There's not a ton to talk about here, but Cliff Lee is having arm problems. It's just discomfort every time he gets back on the mound, and there's a chance that he opts
for
surgery. Yeah, it might mean the end of his career, the end of his season this year. So for people who have already drafted, it's really a shame if you end up with Cliff Lee because he's probably done for the year, as well as Yu Darvish, who we just found out is undergoing surgery
awful.
And it's going to be out for the season again. So it's just two guys. If you have drafted already, bad luck.
And then Cliff Lee's at the top of his game. I mean, that's a privilege to watch. He's unbelievable when he's back with that curve when he's got it going. And Yu Darvish, same story. It's the bummer seeing Cliff Lee. I mean, this could be the end. He's had a nice, really long career, and obviously he's been killing the Mets when he's been on the Phillies, but I mean, it's sad to see him go down like this. And Yu Darvish, the same story, especially with how bad and disappointing Texas was last season and how good he is and He really could carry that team, and I mean, they could easily struggle again this year.
Yeah, it really is a shame to see these guys go down. Unfortunately for one of our writers at Fantasy Team Advice, Jamie Colandro actually has both of these guys in the writer's draft that we did a couple weeks ago, so he's a bit out of luck there.
Yeah, Darvish is going to be killer. I mean, that's a guy you got to really take a risk. I mean, it's tough when in the beginning of these fantasy drafts when you want to take all these really good pitchers, and you take a stud pitcher, and then he goes down like this. It's just heartbreaking.
Yeah, which is why if you have the chance to draft as late as possible in the preseason, you take that risk. As much as you want to get the draft done early because you're itching to go, the more injury news you can get, the better.
I always do my fantasy drafts like 2 or 3 days away from the season. As much as I've always wanted to do as many as possible, but you gotta hold off. You gotta be patient, folks.
All right, let's segue to hitting here. We've got three guys in Chicago that I think are some of the top power hitting prospects in the game, all on one team. And they went back-to-back-to-back on home runs
in
spring training this week, which was awesome to watch. Chris Bryant, Jorge Soler, and Javier Baez. We've seen two of the three at the major league level already. But, Ryan, the question is this. Who would you rather have this year, and who do you think is more of a hot commodity as a dynasty owner for their entirety of their career?
Well, I would like Javier Baez on the Mets just to watch him swing the baseball bat, because that guy, his swing is unbelievable. It looks like he's swinging as hard as he can
pretty.
Every time. I mean, the strikeouts are terrible, but oh my God, I love watching that guy hit. Unfortunately, not my fantasy player. Although, he is a second baseman, and it's hard to get a lot of really good value out of a second baseman. So when you can get a second baseman that can hit a lot of home runs, it's really nice to have a guy like Javier Baez. So when you have something like that, it's a different story. And then when you get to Chris Bryant and Jorge Soler, I mean, it's positions that obviously have a lot of power with them, but these guys are studs, absolute studs. I mean, Chris Bryant, I believe, is the number one prospect coming into the season rated by a bunch of people. And Jorge Soler, I mean, I picked him up last year. I remember when he got called up, and the guy hit like 400 the entire season. He's batting over 400 in spring training. I'm taking Jorge Soler. I mean, just watching this guy play, he's got such a great power swing. He's got a ton of he keeps his average up as well. I think he's going to be a stud for a long, long time.
There's only one way I can describe his swing, and it's vicious. He swings as hard as he can, and yet it works. Yeah. But Soler,
awesome.
Especially for me, this swing just looks insane. His stats last year in the minors, he played 62 games. He had 68 hits, but that's not the crazy part. Of the 68 hits, 40 of them were for extra bases.
Yeah, I'm telling you, he came in and just killed it last year. He carried me to the championship in our league. He's great.
Yeah, it's just all studs, but Bryant is my pick for the long run. He doesn't have a position, a guaranteed roster spot, which is why I aimed Soler for 2015. But Chris Bryant he's a home run hitting Hollister model, as some people at USA Baseball used to call him when he played for the team. He's unbelievable. He hit 43 homers in the minors last year. When he gets his chance to stay up in the big leagues, he's one of those guys that's going to be a premier power bat in fantasy drafts.
And Bryant was in like two different leagues last year, right? So he hit like 23 in single A and like 23 in double A. So, I mean, it just carries over. When you're keeping consistently swinging the bat like that, you know it's going to carry over. And I would be excited if I was a Cubs fan, to be honest. This is a lot of fun to watch
absolutely.
These three players play.
It's not even these three players alone. These are just the three biggest names. There's also Kyle Schwarber, and there's Addison Russell, and there's Arizmendi Alcantara. There's so many
young
guys on the team.
So young. It's so fun to watch young players play. I love that.
Yeah, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. And unfortunately, Baez doesn't make my top two here just because that batting average is so concerning. But if he ever gets that up, the strikeouts destroy him. But the power potential is there, especially, like you said, as a second baseman, which is rare.
Yeah.
I think that's going to do it here for us on the news and notes. We're going to segue here. We've only got 3 weeks left of drafting for people before the season starts. So Ryan and I are going to give you some draft day advice. At least for the two of us in the leagues that we play with each other, we end up being in the top three every season. So I'd like to think these tips are some that you can take to heart. So, Ryan, let's start with you. Draft day tip number one.
All right. Well, every year, it always comes to the end of the season, and I probably lose the stolen base category every single game. And it's just because I don't look for players who steal bases. I'm usually looking for players who are getting extra base hits, they're racking up a lot of RBIs, they're keeping that average around the right above 280 usually is what I'm looking for, which would be great, at least projected. But I never take guys to steal bases, and it always comes back and hurts me in the end. And, I mean, when you get a guy like a D. Gordon or some guy who's just going to bust out, steal 60 bases a year, and a guy who's going to get you, I mean, 5 or 6 stolen bases a week, that's awesome. I mean, for a whole team to get 5 or 6 stolen bases a week is fantastic. And then when you have one guy that contribute that by himself, it's really crucial, and a lot of people really overlook that. So I think it's important to take a couple speedsters for the stolen base category.
It's really funny because my first tip might be the exact opposite as yours, because I think power is the thing that you have to make sure that you get early in the draft because it disappears so fast. I look at stolen base guys and I see Ben Revere steals 40 bases and his draft position is like in the 13th, 14th round. Leonis Martin on the Texas Rangers will steal 35 bases. He's in the 160s. And so, like, there are guys later on that you can get that steal a ton of bases.
You just got to remember to get them.
Almost all they do. Yeah, you just have to remember to get them, and that's absolutely right. You have to make sure you get one of those 30-plus steal guys. But for me, power is the thing that I really have to make sure to remember to get early, because there are not a lot of guys that are going to hit you 30 home runs, 35 home runs, and even more that have a chance to get to that 40 plateau there. You can stock up on guys that hit 20 home runs throughout the draft. And if you get guys that do power and speed, like the potential 2020 guys like Anthony Rendon or Ian Desmond, those guys are great, but you have to pair them with an enormous power bat early on, because there
are
not many.
You got to be careful, though, with the averages of the people who are hitting all the power. I mean, it's great to have somebody who can hit 40 home runs. If he's hitting about 200, I remember I had Pedro Alvarez two years ago, and he really broke out. And it was great and everything, but, I mean, the home runs really would overshadow some of the rest of the stats, and you'd make him think that he's more valuable than he really was. So you have to be careful with that, but you're absolutely right. I mean, it's so hard to find people who can consistently hit over 20 home runs a year. And when you're doing that, you're racking in the RBIs. That's huge for fantasy baseball.
And I think that is why Pedro Alvarez is going undrafted right now and why Jose Bautista is the 10th overall pick, because he still has that average pretty high.
Yep, exactly. All right, so
my
second draft tip is going to be closers. Every year I take, two or three closers at the beginning of the draft. And, I mean, usually one will get hurt, but it's huge. You got to have closers. I mean, these are just stats that people will overlook. And relievers, I mean, some people actually will take relievers as opposed to closers and stuff, man. Just these relievers, some of these guys will throw 80, 90 innings a season, and they'll go out there and usually be pretty locked down. Like when you get a guy like David Robertson or something like that, and they'll really help your team's average. They'll get those saves. They'll get the strikeout per nine average will be way up with relievers. So, I mean, you don't want to overlook those guys as important as they are. And, I mean, you don't – as important they are in a real baseball game, they're also equally as important in fantasy baseball.
I think this is an incredible point, because this is one that I fall victim to myself. I never figure out the right time to draft a closer, because I'm always thinking about the next starter to get, and there are no more known commodities. Starters, they go every 5 days. You know what you're going to get. Closer, you have to think – or it has to be a close game, he's got to get in. It's just so much questioning that I end up getting, like, Neftali Feliz at the end of a draft and kicking myself because I didn't get a guy that's going to help me, like these closers can do.
And it's tough with closers, too, just because they're kind of like running backs and when you're playing fantasy football. I mean, if one goes down, another guy's got to step up. And if that other guy steps up and he performs, then you're going to lose your job. So it's tough. It's a tough life to be a closer, but if you can get a guy like Craig Kimbrell or just any other lockdown closer, I'd take advantage of that opportunity and get him.
Yeah, and that's a great point. I'm going to stick with pitching for my second tip here. It's deep, but I think you need one of those surefire aces to anchor your staff and then build around him. If you can get a top six guy, Kershaw, Felix Hernandez, Chris Sale, Scherzer, Strasburger, Bumgarner, I think that is the anchor that you could really build your pitching staff around. And then you can until the 10th round or so to stock up on the cheap guys like Carlos Carrasco and Garrett Richards and Alex Cobb that are available that late in drafts. And I think that's where the depth comes in. But I think assuming that you don't need one of those aces is incorrect, and that you really need one of those stellar guys to build your staff around.
Yeah, I rarely will take three hitters in a row to start off my draft. There's no way I'm not taking a top-tier pitcher at the beginning of that. I literally drafted Matt Harvey last year in our keeper league, and I knew as he went down, I kept him the entire year, even though it sacrificed a roster spot, and it totally, I mean, you got to have that guy. I mean, it's so crucial to have a guy you can just trust that can go out there and throw you and really eat up innings. That's a big thing with fantasy baseball, because, I mean, you got to get those quality starts as well. And a guy like James Shields, Another sleeper. I mean, he's money in fantasy baseball. I mean, guy always comes out, throws 8 or 9 innings every single game. This keeps his ERA down. And maybe might not get all the wins in the world because he was on Kansas City, but just a really good player. Yeah, it's nice to have guys like that.
Yeah, that anchor that gets you something good in all five categories is huge.
Yeah, huge. All right, my draft day tip numero tres is going to come from the guys who are coming off injury. It might be beneficial to take the risk on these guys. I mean, Tanaka is going to be ballsy. I would avoid him. But guys like Matt Harvey and Ivan Nova and Matt Moore, I mean, Patrick Corbin, Jared Parker, these guys who haven't pitched all last year, people forgot about them. How about Jose Fernandez? I mean, he's probably going to come back, let's see, May, June, I don't know, sometime
June
in July.
Or July.
You can still have him for the end of the year. I mean, that's a guy who's not going to go until the 8th, maybe 7th or 8th round. You got to be kidding me if you're not going to take a flyer on him. It sucks about Yu Darvish, but it might be worth it to take risks on some of these guys that are coming off injuries. Usually people come back stronger off Tommy John surgeries. Obviously it's a risk, but these guys are going to drop a little low in your draft. If you want to take a risk and you got enough talent to do it, you might as well do it.
Yeah, it's a great point you bring up because these guys disappear for a year and people forget about them. And yes, they're coming back from injury, and yes, that's risky. And I think it's a great point that people don't remember how good they expected these guys to be beforehand, and then you get them for a lot cheaper than you probably would have had they just played last year like they normally would have.
Yes, exactly.
All right, tip number three for me is again, it's not really similar to yours. It's more guys that you haven't seen yet. Don't fall in love with youth. It's not going to win you a championship until they become the players in their prime. These picks will get you the oohs and the ahs on draft day, but they'll also not be the elite player they're expected to be until they have experience and they grow into that. I think this is the Mike Trout effect because
mm-hmm.
he pretty much ruined people's patience to wait for a young baseball player to grow into their prime. He was the exception to rule. And now everyone is expecting Mookie Betts and Jock Peterson and Steven Souza to become what they're going to be eventually right now. And I think that's a huge mistake that people make.
What about a guy like Billy Hamilton from
he's another one. His situation is a little bit different because he has that skill set. He just has to get on base, and then he's going to steal a base for you. It's just his unique skill set. But people expect guys like Jock Peterson to hit 25-25 or 20-20 this year in his first full season in the majors. I think it's a reach where people are getting him in drafts.
No, I hear you. I totally agree. My last tip is going to be this is always something that I love having on my team is guys who can play multiple positions, especially a guy that can play maybe first base and the outfield. I mean, you usually have a lot of outfield spots. I mean, maybe 4 or 5 spots on your fantasy baseball team, and you're only going to get one spot at third base and then a position for first and third or first or third base. So, I mean, when you got guys that you can switch into different positions, people get hurt all the time, and you only get 3 or 4 bench spots in fantasy baseball. So you got to take guys who really can play multiple positions. I remember at Mark Trumbo a few years ago, really convenient. Guys who can play shortstop and second base and then maybe play a little third base are really nice. It's just nice to have guys that are flexible and that can play a few different positions. You can pick and plug based on matchups. It just makes your team a lot more flexible and gives you a lot more options as an owner.
Yeah. With our benches so small in fantasy baseball, I think this is a great point. But I think there's one player that's overlooked for their stats because of the fact that they play a lot of positions. Can you guess who that is? Ben Zobrist. I hate how early he gets drafted every year. He hits like 10 homers and steals 15 bases and bats 275, and he does like okay in everything. But because he's eligible everywhere, people draft him early. I think
that's one
of those situations where he gains more value because of those positions rather than what he actually brings to your team.
I think you're totally right. You also have to be very careful with that, as well as it could be very helpful. It also hurts you.
Yeah, but like you said, if those guys, like, say, if Ryan Zimmerman this year is eligible at third base and outfield, I think that's an interesting commodity to have because injuries happen.
I think the outfield and
great
infield,
to have a guy like
the outfield-infield combination is just huge. I mean, your outfield guys are your power guys. I mean, they're going to get you your RBIs. They're going to get you your homers. And when you got a guy that's really playing the outfield and that's, I mean, playing second base or something like that. I mean, are you kidding me? That's awesome. I had Mike Napoli.
Yeah.
That's the perfect example. he was a first baseman, but he said he was registered as a catcher in fantasy baseball, so I put him at catcher, and he put up crazy numbers for catcher. And when you can when you can do that, and I mean, you have a first baseman playing catcher, that's a no brainer.
Yeah, and like you said, it's a luxury to have a guy that can plug in multiple positions with that injury concern. All right, I've got one more tip for you guys, and this is a specific one. At a certain point in the draft, you're going to notice that everyone has a shortstop except you, and you're going to panic. But pretty much every shortstop from that point on is the same player. So
yep.
I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you some blind resumes here, and I'm going to be generic with them because they are all the exact same resume. There are five guys here. All five of them will hit between 260 and 270. All five of them are going to steal between 25 and 35 bases for you. None of them are going to hit more than 10 home runs. They're all projected to score about 70 runs and knock in 50 RBIs. But Alexi Ramirez is going at 100 in drafts, and Gene Segura is going at 183. So it doesn't make any sense to reach for Alexi Ramirez.
And then Javier Baez is a guy who'll go, like, even below that. I mean, you got to be kidding me if you're not going to take a guy like Baez who could just blow up. Or a guy like even Jung Ho Kang. I mean, this is a position where you can really get risky. I mean, there's so many guys out there that you just go and pick up. I mean, you can go pick up Everett Cabrera and be totally fine. I mean, you will survive. I picked up Alcides Escobar, I think, for maybe 19 straight seasons, and he's great. Every single year, the guy plugs in. I mean, you'll find a guy, a shortstop or second baseman, that can hold their ground. Look for something that you don't have. I mean, if you're lacking stolen bases, get some stolen bases. If you're lacking runs, get a guy who's a batting leadoff. I mean, shortstops are so flexible. They play in so many different positions on a team. So it's just you can be smart with these guys.
Alcides Escobar is the guy I built this entire argument around because his average draft position is 188. He's going to steal you 30 bases and score 70
runs.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
Hit 275.
I pick him every year.
Because you don't have to spend anything on him, and he'll do what Elvis Andrews does every year, which is steal about 30 bases with no power and a bunch of runs.
And even J.J. Hardy, he's ranked really low on these lists. He can give you some surprising power. And there's just a lot of surprising shortstops that can still play baseball that will just come out of nowhere. You know, Escobar is super low on this. He can play. I mean, Addison Russell, you mentioned. Please don't draft Ruben Tejada. But everybody else can see it.
Yeah, and we just named about 100 shortstops that you could get after the 15th round in your draft.
Right.
So if you're
like
reaching for Alexi Ramirez, you're driving yourself crazy.
Mm-hmm. And it almost makes it ballsy to reach for Troy Tulowitzki. I mean, the guys who get hurt like that at such a deep position, it's tough. I mean, obviously he's the man, but it's a tough risk you have to make.
He is, I think, the most tempting fantasy asset you can have on your team. Because when he plays, he hits 330 with power and speed and is this unbelievable guy. But he's almost like a myth because he doesn't play more than 100 games this season.
I know. It's so disappointing. You know, the sentiments of a Mets fan, man. It's not just baseball. It's all baseball. He's just so risky. This guy could be the best player of all time. He just can't stay on the field. Tough.
And it really is a shame. And unfortunately, that is going to be the last thing that we say on this podcast because we're running out of time here. Ryan, thank you so much for joining us here. I hope you had a good time. We're going to have to have you on again at some point during the season.
Yeah, definitely. Once I start whooping your butt in fantasy baseball this year, then we can start talking again.
Yeah, and you can actually find both Ryan and I on thesportsdownload.com. It's going to be a blog that we're both going to be contributing to on the blogosphere there for sports. You got Jake Soder from last week will actually be on that as well. You can
I just wrote one coming out today.
Advice. Go ahead.
I saw I got an article coming out today on the Sports Download about the current state of the AFC East. If you guys want to check it out.
Yeah. So head over there. You can also go to fantasyteamadvice.com for all of your daily fantasy sports needs. And the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Draft Kit is available for purchase at only $6. And it's updated throughout the season. So you can keep going back to that to find out pickups and drops and things like that. So it's a great asset to have. But for Ryan Ballack, I am Joe DiRienzo. Thank you all very much for listening to the Fantasy Team Advice Baseball Podcast. See you next week.